Translation. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. Please repeat. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead and the seed of material enjoyment in the living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In this connection, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya that since the living entities all belong to the marginal potency of the Lord, each and every living entity has a natural tendency to become Krishna conscious. Although, at the same time, the seed of material enjoyment is undoubtedly within him. The seed of material enjoyment, watered by the course of material nature, fructifies to become a tree of material entanglement that endows the living entities with all kinds of material enjoyment. To enjoy such material facilities is to be afflicted with the three material miseries. However, when by nature's law there is a flood, the seeds within the earth become inactive. Similarly, as the inundation of love of God spreads all over the world, the seeds of material enjoyment become impotent. Thus, the more the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the more the desire for material enjoyment increases. The seed of material enjoyment automatically becomes impotent with the increase of this Krishna consciousness movement. Instead of being envious that Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, those who are jealous should be happy, as indicated here by the words param ulasa. But because they are kanista adhikaris or prakha bhaktas, pakrita bhaktas, materialistic devotees who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge, they are envious instead of happy, and they try to find fault in this Krishna consciousness movement. Yet, Srimad Prabodhananda Saraswati writes in his Chaitanya Chandramrita that when influenced by Lord Chaitanya's Krishna consciousness movement, materialists become averse to talking about their wives and children. Supposedly learned scholars give up their tendency to study the Vedic literatures. Yogis give up their impractical practices of mystic yoga. Ascetics give up their austerities and activities of penances and austerities. And sannyasis give up their studies of Sankhya philosophy. Thus, they are all attracted by the bhakti yoga practices of Lord Chaitanya and cannot relish a mellow superior to that of Krishna consciousness. Omagyatumanandasya janandina salakaya chaksurva militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gramayam Tadati Swabhidantikam. Vanchakalpatu Vyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitananam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So, I'd like to begin first by reading material life in the 21st century using words that end with less. Okay? So, here is a list of things which you probably are familiar with. Our communication, wireless, our phones, cordless, our cooking, fireless, our food, fatless, our sweets, sugarless, our labor effortless, our relations fruitless, our attitude careless, our feelings heartless, our politics shameless, our education worthless, our mistakes countless, our arguments baseless, our youth jobless. I have to miss one here because it's not appropriate for a Bhagavatam class, but our boss brainless, our jobs thankless, our needs endless, our situation hopeless, and our salaries less and less. Yes, I like that. So, it's another angle of the age of Kali. We have in the fifth canto, there's a whole description of the age of Kali. And it described as an ocean or a mountain of faults. And here's another aspect of that within the modern age. And even if we take some of the beginning ones, so-called positive wireless and cordless, some would have us believe that that is material advancement to have a wireless communication and cordless phones. And that's with a big question mark because it depends on how you use them. If you use your phones, I don't have one of these modern day phones. I still have a simple Sony Ericsson, which I use as a phone, but I also use it to listen to Prabhupada's classes and other Krishna conscious things. But mostly, most people in the materialistic society, they use their phones for other reasons too, which are not very favorable for them. Anyway, in this verse, at least in the purport, Bhaktisiddhanta, he gives an example of the seeds, bija, the seed which is within the heart of the living entity. Seeds are interesting phenomena because within a seed there is an embryo and a plant, and contains all the material and spiritual energy for becoming a flourished plant or a tree. If we take, for instance, the banyan seed, within that little banyan seed, there is a whole banyan tree. Now, this is one of the inconceivable aspects of Krishna's creation, that within such a tiny little seed, there is the power and the potency of a banyan creation, a banyan tree. And we all have seen banyan trees, how big they are, and how big an entangling they become. So within that little seed, there is such an existence. So in the same way, within our hearts, we also have seeds. These are seeds of material desires. The living entity has seeds of enjoyments within himself and are ready to be manifested at any given moment. Some seeds are already manifested, and we're trying to enjoy the fruits of those seeds, or we're trying to make them into fruits to be able to enjoy. Other seeds at the moment are not manifested, and we need, as a seed, when you plant a seed in the garden or in a field, you have to cultivate the land first. And when you plant the seed, after planting it, it has to be nourished by air and by water. So it has to have the right environment and conditions in order for that seed to germinate and grow. So in the same way, Kali Yuga, the age of Kali, is a perfect environment for the living entities to nurture and germinate their seeds of material desires and try to enjoy. It's a perfect environment. And we can see all around us, it's very clear that environment at this present moment is so fertile that they're even stretching their imaginations to create more and more sensational so-called enjoyments within the material world. However, as anyone will know who is a gardener or a farmer, the seed sometimes could be in a situation where there's too much of something, especially too much water. I've noticed Bhaktivinod sitting before me here. He's our gardener up in Scotland. He has an organic farm right beside the temple. And I was with him in the springtime and helping him to cultivate the land for the summer's seedlings. I haven't spoken to him yet as to what the result was, but I can well imagine the summer that we had, the result was not very fruitful. But we will discuss during the breakfast time. My own experience has been just that. I had an organic farm down in Cornwall, and there's nothing more frustrating than preparing land to cultivate some, you know, vegetables and flowers, seedlings, and then having an inundation of rain for many, many weeks. Right? And this year, I know, at least I know in Cornwall, they had big, big problems because of the rain, inundation. For days and weeks on end, there was so much rain pouring down on those little seedlings. Of course, in this connection, Bhaktisiddhanta's example here is a very positive one, because he is explaining how the inundation of Krishna consciousness, specifically the inundation of the Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement throughout the world, is flooding the world so much that it will kill all the material desires within the living entities. So that's a good inundation of water, or in this case it's not water, but it's love of God. Lord Chaitanya did not appear with weapons. Usually the Lord appears to annihilate the miscreants. So he brings a certain number of weapons with him in order to annihilate the miscreants. However, the Panchatattva appeared instead of those wet weapons. The Lord appeared with his associates. The Panchatattva, the five features of the Lord, they themselves were the weapons to destroy all the inauspiciousness of this age. So as this verse suggests, that the entire world became drowned in love of God, the seed of material enjoyment became inactive, completely inactive, because of that inundation. And the lords became very happy to see that, because their intention was that they want everyone in this age to be happy. Not just happy, to be blissful, to be ecstatic, to be freed from all material desires. As explained in the Nectar of Devotion, that devotional service to Krishna is the only means by which you can actually enter into the recesses of the heart and kill, destroy those unmanifested desires that are ready to pop up. So not only do they destroy our present desires that we're frustrated about, but they also go right into the recesses of the heart and kill all those desires that are yet to be manifested. This is the power of devotional service. And we have been given a formula by which that devotional service can be executed in a simple and sublime way through this Sankirtan movement. This is mission, the mission which Lord Chaitanya has presented before us. It's a cleansing process, and at the same time it's a mission. It's an opportunity for us to assist the Lord, to assist the Panchatattva in their mission to drown the world with Krishna consciousness. So in this verse it's also mentioned that the living entity is marginal entities. That means to say that we can make a choice. There's only two choices, but at least we have a choice. We can go on one side of the line, or we can go on to the other side of the line. Marginal entities, meaning that we can live a materialistic life, or we can adopt the spiritual practices and go back home, back to Godhead. This is the ultimate choice that we have. This is how we exercise our freedom of choice as to whether we wish to serve Krishna or serve Maya. This is our choice. And even though we've made a choice, we who are sitting here, we have decided to make a choice. We've decided that we want to give up this materialistic tendency to lord it over the material nature and become independent enjoyers, free thinking. What's that other term? Free spirits, free spirit thinking. I don't need anyone's help. I am better than anyone else. I am very great and powerful. These are aspects of the false ego. Leave me alone. I am perfectly fine and I'm perfectly happy. This is the free thinking mentality within materialistic life. So that is one side. And the other side is that we become frustrated with this free spirit mentality and we decide to take shelter of Krishna through devotional service. In the Nectar of Devotion, it is explained that the definition of sadhana bhakti is that it is a systematic process by which you engage the mind and the senses in devotional service for the purpose of reawakening the dormant love of Krishna that resides within us. So as it was pointed out here, we have a tendency to want to be devotees because we are devotees. And from the constitutional level or position, we are devotees. We are eternally devotees. So in one sense, no one can say, this is not for me. Yeah? Sometimes we hear people say, no, this is not for me. And as a devotee, we're thinking, well, of course it's for you. There's nothing else for you. This is absolutely what you need and what you want, really deep down inside. And your soul, yourself, is crying out to reestablish that eternal position of rendering loving devotional service at the lotus feet of Krishna. So when we go out on the street, we meet individuals and we stop someone and we introduce Krishna consciousness. Please, my dear sir, did you know that you're not this body, you're a spirit soul? My dear sir, did you know that there is such a thing as eternal life? And did you know that you have a supreme friend? His name is Krishna, and he's the reservoir of all pleasure, and that pleasure you can experience yourself. So that person He has two natures. The first nature is the real, true nature of the eternal spirit soul. And the spirit soul is trying to communicate, yes, finally, this is what we need. However, the second nature, usually it's something to do with the body, but especially the mind, says, no, 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 no. So there's a conflict there of interest. The self is saying, yes, I want Krishna consciousness. And the lower self is saying, no, we don't want Krishna consciousness. This, we give all kinds of reasons why we don't want to entertain Krishna consciousness. But, as there is one saying, diamond in the rough is a diamond sure enough, but someone must find it, and then someone must grind it. When it is found and ground, then that diamond which was in the rough suddenly reestablishes its constitutional position of a diamond. Isn't that like? Sometimes diamonds are found, they've been in the earth or somewhere very dirty for many, many years. So it's been covered with dirt, and it doesn't appear to be anything of value. So those who then grind that diamond and reestablish its natural constitutional position, then that diamond shines. In the same way, when someone actually decides to come to Krishna consciousness and starts to engage in these practices of devotional service, it doesn't take very long. In fact, from our experience, even within 2 weeks of practicing devotional service, chanting, taking prasad, all these activities that we're doing on a day-to-day basis, within a couple of weeks, suddenly the consciousness changes. And of course, in the same light, the reverse, that if someone is a devotee and he's illuminated, his senses are illuminated, and his mind is peaceful. Yeah? They say you look at someone's face and you can understand their mind. The face is an index of the mind. So when you look at a devotee, when you look into the face and eyes of a devotee, you can see he is peaceful. It isn't, you don't need a calculator to calculate whether he's peaceful or not. You look into the face and eyes, and you can even see the heart. Oh, this devotee, he's peaceful. He's enjoying life. But if that same devotee, for some reason or another, leaves Krishna consciousness and leaves devotional service and leaves the association of devotees, then that consciousness goes, as we say, bloop. It goes down. We may see that devotee after a couple of weeks of leaving the temple. He may pop back into the temple just to see what he has missed in the last couple of months or couple of weeks. And it is very clear that, oh, he is no longer illuminated. He is no longer having that effulgence that he used to have. He is associated with material nature again, and he's lost himself. This is reality within weeks of coming and within weeks of leaving. It is actual reality we can see. It is not needed for anyone to be on some special level to see that. It is very clear. So, this is Krishna consciousness. It is a movement which is destined to inundate this whole world. It is very hard to conceive of a world that is full of devotees. At the moment, we have a world which is full of non-devotees. And we feel that the intensity and pressure of the association of those non-devotees. As a preacher, as preachers, sometimes we leave the temple to go and preach. And even if we are sincere in our intentions to practice Krishna consciousness, we know that there is a line that cannot be crossed. I was just personally out, I was in the southwest of England for 4 weeks doing my school presentations and other activities. So I was fully engaged, enthusiastically engaged. However, as the weeks came, the fourth week, I started to notice, oh, it's time to go to the temple. The association is there. Whether you have good intentions or not, you cannot become like a dry sponge outside the temple, thinking that I have so much to give. This world is in Maya and I have to give Krishna consciousness. Yes, that is a good intention, but you also have to be careful that you don't become influenced by the association of non-devotees. So I always recognize that line and I know, okay, the line is there. I need now to go to the temple, to associate with the devotees, recharge my batteries. Yeah. That's why mostly when I come to Bhaktivedanta Manor, I don't do very much. I don't go on Harinams and I don't even give too many classes, because my intention is that if I'm to go and preach again, I need to rejuvenate my own batteries. So I prefer, when I come to the temple, to listen to other devotees giving classes. But of course, we have an enthusiastic class giver here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. He was always coming up to me insisting that I give class. So I'm doing it today. But even that, I see it as for my own benefit. I'm not necessarily giving a class to any of you. You may be listening, you may not be. You may be benefiting, you may not be. I don't know. But one thing is for sure, that I am here sitting on behalf of my spiritual master, assisting him in his mission. And he says, you have to give a class sometimes. And if no one attends your class, then you give the class anyway, because you can give the class to the wall. At least by giving the class to the wall, you'll hear yourself speak, and that'll be for your benefit. This is how we conduct our activities as representatives of our spiritual master, representatives of the Panchatattva. They don't need us, but we need them. Lord Chaitanya can very easily spread Krishna consciousness at this particular time, and he's doing his part too. He is making his arrangements. But he's also leaving. He's also giving us the opportunity to engage in these missionary activities. Just so that we can reawaken this dormant love of Krishna that is there within us. This is the means by which we can do that. Reawaken that dormant love of Krishna within ourselves and try as much as possible to give this same inundation of love of God to others. In this way, as devotees, we have choices that we make every day. We can just, if we want, we can just think of ourselves. On the other hand, we can think, well, I'm getting so much from this movement, this Krishna consciousness. I'm getting so much for myself. Let me spend some time at least to give to others. And in fact, Prabhupada did encourage us as disciples that one moment in the day, or a day should not pass where you shouldn't give Krishna consciousness to someone else. So here again, you can see that although we've made the choice to be a devotee, even as a devotee, we have further choices to make. I was just recently at the Ukraine festival, where there were 7,000 devotees under one pandal. The pandal is probably two or three times as big as the one that you put up here for Janmashtami. And that pandal was full of devotees chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. In the evenings we would have these kirtan melas. Of course, nowadays we have very wonderful kirtaniyas who push us to make that little extra effort, even while chanting, to try to chant from the heart. So I was just thinking, well, in that atmosphere of 7,000 devotees chanting the holy name, I could see very clearly how it was affecting me in such a positive way. After 5 days of that, you're completely inundated with Krishna consciousness. And you get a kind of a little bit of a glimpse as to what it must be like when the whole world is inundated with Krishna consciousness and everyone's chanting and dancing. And wow, let that day come soon. But it's also up to us to make these choices. We can even make a choice. Some will have us believe that on the 12th of this year, there's going to be a phenomena that will take place that will see the world change in such a way that we've never seen it before. Some will have us believe that that's going to happen. Of course, from where Kali is standing, he would love that. That would be his sum and substance of his mission, that the world would be inundated with catastrophes and misery. Huh? However, I personally do not believe that such catastrophe will take place. For the simple reason is that, yes, we are in the age of Kali. It is Kali's age. But I would put a big question mark next to that statement. Is it really any longer Kali's age? Or is it Lord Chaitanya? Has Lord Chaitanya taken over? If that's the case, if Lord Chaitanya has taken over from Kali, then he can change whatever's supposed to be happening to something very, very positive for the living entities of this world. I'm led to believe that that would be my choice between the two. That something wonderful is taking place. I've been a devotee now 40 years. I was present in the very beginning of this movement, and I'm still present 40 years later, and I've seen the changes that have taken place within our society, but also in the society externally. How the influences of our movement have made an impression, a big impact in how people are today. And that will continue. There's like some of the words which back in the 70s people never even heard of. I'm thinking of words like bliss, nectar. You know, these are words which they're not so familiar in the dictionary. They're probably in the dictionary, but they're not used by anyone. Except nowadays they're being used. Now you can get a credit card called a nectar card. You can get a health bar, which is called a bliss bar. Yeah? You can even go and watch a movie that's called Avatar. Although it's got nothing to do with Krishna, the fact that they're using words, you know, from the Vedic literature, means that it's rubbing off. So we want it to rub off in such a way that, yes, the world will be inundated, a flood of love of God. Fruits, this is the difference between the seeds within the heart, the material seeds. We're getting fruits. We're not even getting seeds from Lord Chaitanya. We're actually getting ripened fruits. We don't even have to do anything. We don't have to even cultivate anything. They're just being distributed by the Panchatattva. Whole fruits of love of God. And all we have to do is take the fruits and enjoy them. This is Krishna consciousness. We're so fortunate. We cannot even estimate our great fortune. But the fortune is there. So I would like to just finish by reading in summary. What can make us free and truly happy? How can we cope with this age we now live in, the age of Kali, in which lives are short, concentration and memories are diminished, spiritual interest is limited, and people are easily misled by false leaders and teachers. Above all, in a time of great upheaval caused by constant quarrel and hypocrisy, what are we to practice in order to make spiritual progress? The answer, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is full of potency and is transcendental to the material modes of nature. This chanting will therefore lift one from the actions and reactions of daily living and place one's consciousness on the spiritual plane. The Bhagavad Purana also states that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is the sublime method for reviving our dormant love for the Lord. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord is full of Krishna's pastimes and ever blissful. This chanting aims at nothing less than a revelation of Krishna himself. The devotee will establish in this life a golden throne for the holy name and worship it as the most precious and valuable jewel. Thus situated there will be no need to search for anything better. So in any situation, please chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I think I'll stop there.